The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
So pressing the U.S. economy to the brink actually has uses for the Biden administration. They will use your economic suffering as a pretext for assuming control over every aspect of your life. Now, Democrats in Congress recognize that this is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for them, not simply to get more power, but to make certain their pre-existing obsessions become law and, of course, always to lecture you.
Never let a crisis go to waste. That's the way they've been operating since early on in the Obama years. The fundamental transformation of the United States, using even this economic crisis. I mean, you can feel the anger and the rage building right across the country. Is it sustainable? What? It makes me think about this summer. You look at what rage was manufactured 2 years ago by the media and by these politicians that are not patriots. They just want to stir up anger and strife. And people took to the streets and burned down cities. But what happens when people all across America really and truly are suffering? Well, we've talked so many times before, you can get our Ezekiel booklet and see what your Bible prophesies about the coming civil war here in the United States of America. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. You can get to our daily audio stream of this show through CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. But to get to the live video stream, as you well know, you've got to go to our very own website. That would be thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live. Takes you right to the live stream page, and we broadcast live every weekday morning here in the central time zone of the United States at 11 a.m. So we certainly appreciate you joining the live audience. That same page I just gave to you, though, will also make available the podcast that we post after the fact in case you'd like to listen on demand. Either way, we appreciate you. So much to get to on today's show. Can hardly believe it's Friday, late night for us. Some of us here last night with the graduation ball that went deep into the night. Lots of clips that we've lined up here today, so I might have to bounce around a little bit and rely more on the clips here in this opening segment. But going back to what Tucker said on the program last night, Sam, our wonderful producer, he emailed me a few days ago and was commenting on all of these economic crises, saying that the Joe Obama people are going to use this to go after more control. And sure enough, there it was. I don't know if it was the opening segment of Tucker's show last night, but it makes me wonder if Sam's moonlighting, helping the Tucker Carlson show, as you hear Tucker last night saying, look, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity. We've said at the Trumpet, you talk about tomorrow's news today. This is not incompetence. This is part of the plan. Oh, sure, the baby formula crisis, that looks really bad. So they're going to spring into action. And from some of the clips that we've compiled here today, it looks as if they sprung into action yesterday. I mean, when it comes to Ukraine, they're working months in advance. Get these packages together, $13 billion earlier this year, another $40 billion. And thanks to Rand Paul, by the way, that's been delayed until there's at least more debate next week. Good for him. But I mean, when it comes to furthering their agenda, they will act immediately. And here, this baby formula, and it's been in the news for weeks. But now finally, because there's just outrage right across the country, the shelves are empty. Finally, you've got the Biden people talking about what they might do. We'll see. There was another item in the news stack about the skyrocketing costs for energy, the cost for diesel fuel at the moment. You might remember a few weeks ago when the Biden administration announced that, yeah, we're going to release all of this oil from the strategic reserves, and that's going to bring the price down this summer. And, well, now a lot of the production is shifting over to diesel, which is just going to make the regular gas for most automobiles continue to go upward. And Biden could relieve some of this pain if he'd just clear the way for more domestic production, but he won't do it. He just won't do it. It doesn't fit within their agenda. And they talk about how that, well, we're not trying to stop oil production domestically. Not at all. We're not in the way. They are in the way. It's all part of the plan. This is from CBS News. Biden administration cancels Alaska oil and gas lease sale. At this time, they cancel this? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It says the Biden administration has canceled one of the most high-profile oil and gas lease opportunities pending before the Interior Department. It says here the decision, which halts the potential to drill for oil in over 1 million acres in the Cook Inlet in Alaska, comes at a challenging political moment when gas prices are hitting painful new highs. Listen to this again, if you will. The decision, which halts, which stops the potential to drill for oil in over 1 million acres in Alaska. Biden just put a stop to it. Yeah, it's all part of the plan. It says here, in a statement shared first with CBS News, the Department of the Interior cited a lack of industry interest in leasing in the area. Yeah, the oil companies are not interested. So we're just going to nix the deal entirely. No more drilling in this part of Alaska. No way. Says the department also halted two leases under consideration for the Gulf of Mexico region. Well, they're just stopping all these leases to drill oil, to produce our own energy, which, of course, Donald Trump was famous for. Let's open the way. Let's drill. Energy independent. Can you even believe that we were energy independent in the United States just a couple years ago? How fast times have changed. 16 months with this illegitimate administration, this fraudulent administration that got in by the steal of the century. That's right. The evidence is made plain now in a full-length documentary showing people cheating. There are consequences for this kind of lawlessness. And we write all about this in America Under Attack. Great again is a great supplemental read to that study. If you don't have either of those booklets, call our operators today and request your free copies. That's 1-866-930-3024. There's no cost, no obligation for any of the literature that we offer on this program. It's already been paid for. But just call our operators, give us your address, and we'll send it out right away. You'll get it in the next week or two, hopefully. It's not incompetence. It's all part of the plan. Listen to this from earlier this week. We've talked this week about the $40 billion that the politicians in Washington, the ruling class, are so eager, excepting a few, Rand Paul being one of them, but they're just so eager to send this money over to Ukraine, even as you've got all of these crises right here at home. This is the Senate Minority Leader, Mitch McConnell. He's supposed to be a Republican, but listen to him earlier this week, clip 10.
I think we all agree the most important thing going on in the world right now is the war in Ukraine. I had a chance to call the president last week and request that the Ukraine package move by itself and quickly.
Wow, quickly. We've got to get this moving. What did he say? The most important thing going on in the world right now. Now, from a prophetic standpoint, there's no getting around the fact that Putin's march on Ukraine is hugely significant. But the thing of it is, he's on the march there because of Biden, because of Joe Obama. Putin didn't do this during the Trump years. Think about, for all of that talk, for all of that hyperventilating in the news media, that Trump is an agent, a stooge of Putin. And yet all through the Trump years, Putin never did what he did just a few months ago in Ukraine. He's doing it now because he knows. He knows there's weakness being projected by this fraudulent administration. Weakness. Even as they, at the same time, just pour in billions and billions of dollars. And they want to keep this in the news. They want to keep this on the top fold of the newspapers. This is the Commerce Secretary, just to consider these twisted priorities. Someone was, I forget who the guy is who's asking the question here, but again, coming back to the crises that we're facing here domestically here in the United States, this is someone asking the Commerce Secretary, her name's Gina Raimondo, about, look, what about feeding, you know, our children and clothing them for school and that sort of thing? And listen to her response to this question. This is clip five.
While Americans are struggling and seeing their paychecks shrink, a 24% increase over FY21 levels for NOAA doesn't really help families put food on the table or clothes on the back at a time when inflation's at a 40-year high. Can you talk about how this massive allocation of funds helps to combat inflation or deal with supply chain issues that you say are so important?
Yes. So, look, we believe climate change is an existential threat. So, you know, children won't forget about clothes on their back. They're not going to be able to have a life if we don't deal with climate change.
So we got to put billions more toward climate change initiatives. Well, what about the immediate concerns of people that are, you know, they can't afford the food at the grocery store or the fuel at the gas station? Inflation at a 40-year high. Can you tell us how that all this massive amounts of spending can help, you know, the ordinary Americans who are struggling? And her response is that children, forget about clothes on children's backs. They're not going to be able to have a life if we don't deal with climate change. So there are the priorities. What, climate change? Ukraine, that's it. McConnell says that's the most important thing going on right now. And you'll notice everything that's falling apart or collapsing right here in the United States. Nothing is being done. To the thought of baby formula, and look, there's another angle to this story. Maybe we'll have a discussion on it at another time. You see just how dependent Americans are on, you know, manufactured food, artificial foods, basically. Baby formula is not healthy. You know, breastfeeding and natural organic foods, that's the way to go as far as building the health of your family. But setting that aside, there's millions of Americans dependent on baby formula. As bad as it is, they're dependent on it. That's food. It's like the fast food industry. People rely on it. People eat fast food. But here the shelves are empty. The shelves have been empty. I mean, this is just a tiny, tiny foretaste of what's coming. But what's astounding to me is just how the Joe Obama people caught completely flat-footed. And yet it's not astounding, is it? Because look at their priorities. Look at what they're focused on. They don't, I mean, your immediate needs at the grocery store regarding baby formula, that's not a concern, or at least it wasn't until yesterday. Because now it's getting national news attention. But until yesterday, look, we've got to get climate change going. Because if we don't fix this, forget about trying to get clothes for your children. We're all going to die. It's like the COVID scaremongers. We've got some more from Joe Biden on that, by the way. Here comes the midterm variant. Oh, yes. Maybe we can play that. Is that number 17? Go for it.
There's still so much left to do. This pandemic isn't over. You know, we're going to face together global health crises. This is not the last one we've had. We have to start working to prevent the next variant and the next pandemic now. It's going to require all of us to do more. How can we save more lives and sustain our efforts to get shots in people's arms all around the world, expand access to treatment, and save lives everywhere? We can control COVID-19. We have to double down on our efforts to get shots in people's arms. This summer is an opportunity to renew our efforts, to keep our foot on the gas when it comes to getting this pandemic under control and preventing future health crises, and prepare for the next health crisis, because there will be others. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. We all must do more. We must honor those we have lost by doing everything we can to prevent as many deaths as possible. Now, all this is completely free. No strings attached. But, you know, there's still so much left to do. This pandemic isn't over.
Yeah, it's not over. And it's all completely free, getting this under control. Over 1 million people have died from COVID. Well, you have to put "from" in quotes, of course. They've died with COVID, to be precise. But that said, I mean, this is the same man who said about Donald Trump, what was it, about 3,100 deaths? That any man presiding over the death of 200,000-300,000 Americans is not fit to be president. Now it's over 1 million. And there he is, still talking about, yeah, look, all these programs, all this spending, but it's free, all this spending, we're going to get this under control. But just so that you know, this pandemic's not over. The midterm variant's coming. That's right. We got to do everything that we can to scare you, to scare state officials into propping up those ballot boxes, sending out those mail-in ballots, in the hope that we can get some hardcore communist leftists in office again. Get COVID under control. This is amazing. These statistics coming in about the drug overdoses in the United States of America. 107,000 drug ODs just last year. First time ever, over 100,000. A 15% increase over 2020. That was a record year, by the way. So that's lockdown year, 2020. Then the follow-up year, last year, 15% more. People just dying. This is because of the wide open border. Nobody's insisting that the people coming across there, by the way, get the vaccine. So you've got this, I mean, how do you make sense of all this? COVID's not over. Another variants are coming. We're spending a lot of money, but it's free. We're going to make sure people get their vaccinations, except for those coming across the southern border. I mean, this is crazy. This is insanity of the highest order. This is an attack, you see. America under attack. The opioid crisis. This is bigger than COVID. They're never going to say it. They're never going to admit it. But it's so much bigger than COVID, because these are people actually dying of opioid overdoses. The drug is killing them. Now, when you think about, what is it, 6% that are actually dying of COVID, most of them are dying with COVID because they've got other conditions. And in some cases, you know, chronic conditions that have been there for years and years and years, that's taking them to their deathbed as it is. But, and the thing about 107,000 is that a lot of these people are young people. But you hardly even hear about this in the news. Okay, there's a few voices, Tucker Carlson, I guess, a couple of others. And yet, there's your fake president going on about COVID, and you know they're in bed, the government's in bed with Big Pharma, and Anthony Fauci and Collins, they're on the take. Millions and millions of dollars at play here. And so it's a never-ending story. This is what Fauci and Biden have said. Fauci said there's never going to be an end to this. It's always going to be with us. And believe me, they're going to rev it up right around the time of the election, because they can't steal elections without the mail-in ballots. Dinesh D'Souza brings that out in his documentary. Why doesn't this get more attention? People getting so stoned on drugs that are just streaming across the border of the south of the United States. 107,000, and a lot of them young people. Their priorities, as you can see, you've got climate change, you've got the next pandemic or the ongoing pandemic, Ukraine, of course, you've got Ukraine. And meanwhile, America is burning. Isn't that amazing? Listen to Jen Psaki yesterday as she's asked about this this shortage of baby food in the United States. This is clip two.
It does seem like we should have seen this coming, that maybe the FDA could have done more on the baby formula shortage. The whistleblower who used to work at that Sturgis plant warned the FDA top officials about safety concerns in October, but they didn't interview that whistleblower until December. The inspection wasn't until January 31st. The recall happened February 17th. So is that timeline acceptable to the White House? And if not, what is the White House doing to correct that at the FDA?
I'm sure there will be plenty of time to take a look at if there are any issues that could have been improved here. I don't have any specific analysis of that at this moment in time.
What, follow the timeline of that reporter there? The whistleblower comes forward in October, okay? The whistleblower is interviewed in December, 2 months later, all right? And then January 31st, you've got the inspection of the baby food plant, all right? And then you've got February 17th, the recall that happens. So the baby food's pulled off of the shelves, and I think since that time, that plant has been shut down. This is going back to October of last year, and it's just yesterday when the Biden administration's on the phone with some of these CEOs of the baby food manufacturers trying to figure out what's going on. They have no clue because they're not interested in baby food. Come on, it's what good is baby food going to be if climate change is going to kill all of us? Or COVID's going to kill all of us. It's all part of the attack. It's all part of the fundamental transformation. It's like Tucker said at the top of this segment. It's all about getting control. It's all about ramming their program right down our throats. Listen again to Jen Psaki from her press conference yesterday, clip three.
Yes, we are exploring every option. I think when you look at the Defense Production Act, you have to ensure that it would actually achieve what you're trying to achieve. And so we're also looking at that as well. And we have been working. This is one of the reasons, obviously, the president called CEOs today of some of these vital companies to determine what more can be done, because we know that with one major supplier having part of their supply off the marketplace, one of the easiest and fastest ways to address that is to increase supply from some of the other suppliers, and also to import more, which is a step we're working to take as well.
Yeah, we're working on this. And be assured, Joe Biden called the CEOs yesterday. Yesterday. Listen to this exchange. One last one here from yesterday, clip four.
If you can't find formula and you need it for your baby to eat, what should they be doing?
We would certainly encourage any parent who has concerns about their child's health or well-being to call their doctor or pediatrician.
Well, thank you for that advice. So if there's no food for the babies, what should we do? We'll call the doctor. Okay. How sustainable is this? You think about this illegitimate administration and whether it could even last for another, what would it be, 2.5 more years of this? It's not sustainable. An explosion is coming. Of course, we've talked about God bringing Donald Trump back into office based on a prophecy in 2 Kings 14. We don't know all the details of how that's going to come about. But look, these are serious and dangerous and perilous times, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 3. How could you not look at what's happening and not conclude that an explosion is coming? This is from NBC. It says here, as parents across the U.S. are scrambling to find baby formula because of supply disruptions, the Food and Drug Administration announced Tuesday it would allow some formula products from the shuttered Abbott facility in Michigan to be released on a case-by-case basis. It says here further on, two of the infants died. This is talking about what led up to the recall. Two of the infants died. Abbott subsequently issued a recall, and all potentially affected products manufactured at the facility, and the FDA later shut down the plant after federal safety inspectors found Abbott failed to maintain sanitary conditions and procedures at the facility. Last month, however, the FDA and Centers for Disease Control and Prevention told NBC News none of the bacterial strains taken at the Abbott plant match those collected from the infants, and the agencies haven't offered an explanation for how the contamination occurred. So basically, we have no idea. But keep in mind, this is the FDA and the CDC. This is the federal government. These are the same people that have been charting the course on COVID-19. They have no clue. They have no clue. Meanwhile, shelves are empty and parents are left to wonder, when are we going to have food for the babies? I like what Representative Waltz said yesterday. He said, in Biden's America, it's easier to get a crack pipe in a government-funded smoking kit than it is to find baby formula. That's right. You can get the crack pipe, but you can't get the baby formula. This package, by the way, that Congress desperately wants to send off to Ukraine without any oversight, without any investigation into where the money will go. Keep in mind that Ukraine is one of the most corrupt nations in the world as far as oligarchs and slush funds and all of this money that's redirected even back to the oligarchs here in the United States. And yet Mitch McConnell says there's no more important issue in the world. That's why I called Joe Biden, so that we could get this money sent off right away. And but for Rand Paul, it'd probably be already on its way today. When we come back, we'll finish off with this topic, this $40 billion monstrosity, and then conclude today's show with the Daily Bible Study. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
We cannot save Ukraine by dooming the U.S. economy. In March, inflation hit a 40-year high. Gasoline alone is up 48%, and energy prices are up 32% over the last year. Food prices have increased by nearly 9%. Used vehicle prices are up 35% for the year, and new vehicle prices have increased 12% or more. Yes, inflation doesn't just come out of nowhere. It comes from deficit spending. The United States spent nearly $5 trillion on COVID-19 bailouts, leading to one of the highest and most sustained levels of inflation in U.S. history. Americans are feeling the pain, and Congress seems intent only on adding to that pain by shoveling more money out the door as fast as they can.
Yeah, just spend. We've got to spend our way to the solution. That's the way so many people think in the swamp. Just send the... And all that Rand Paul's asking for is for an inspector general to oversee how the military aid is going to be spent. And he'd like to see, I'm not sure how all of the rules and regulations work there in the Senate, but he'd like to see a 60-vote threshold for this to go through. There's others in the Senate saying that there's going to be a vote now scheduled for Monday, but maybe there'll be a few days for at least the outcry to continue, because listen, there's a lot of Americans that are enraged by what's happening in Washington. That really sense that the America they grew up in is fast slipping away. Listen again to Rand Paul from yesterday, clip 7.
If this bill passes, the U.S. will have authorized roughly $60 billion in total spending for Ukraine, Let's put $60 billion into perspective. According to Elias Youssef, a security assistant at the Stimson Center, Kiev would become the largest yearly recipient of U.S. military aid of the past two decades. If this gift to Ukraine passes, our total aid to Ukraine will almost equal the entire military budget of Russia. And it's not as if we have that money lying around. We will have to borrow that money from China to send it to Ukraine. The cost of this package we are voting on today is more than the U.S. spent during the first year of the U.S. conflict in Afghanistan. Congress authorized force, and the president sent troops into the conflict. The same cannot be said of Ukraine.
This is known as die by suicide, as Abraham Lincoln once said. We're killing ourselves. Where's the EU, as I said yesterday? I think someone else I heard this week said that of all the funding that's gone into Ukraine, the United States has more than doubled what all of the EU nations combined have contributed. And it's not like we have money to send them, as Rand Paul brings out there. We're borrowing it from China. China! So that we can fund Ukraine. So that we can basically fund this proxy war against Russia. And kill ourselves at the very same time. Josh Hawley, the senator, he said the fact that we're spending three times as much. Okay, here it is. Here's the figure I heard earlier. The fact that we're spending three times as much as the European allies combined. I mean, the United States single-handedly financing this war. I've got major concerns about this. Well, he's in the minority. He's in a slim minority of people that are just concerned enough to say, hey, can we hit the pause button long enough to even look at how this is being spent? It shouldn't even be considered because the United States doesn't have this money. But here's Senator Paul for his part, just putting the figures out there showing how much money this, you know, you hear trillions all the time and you can mistakenly think that $40 billion is, oh, it's not that much money. What's the big deal? I mean, that's the way a lot of them think in D.C. Notice these comparisons. This is clip 8.
This proposal towers over domestic priorities as well. The massive package of $60 billion to Ukraine dwarfs the $6 million spent on cancer research annually. $60 billion is more than the amount the government collects in gas taxes each year to build roads and bridges. The $60 billion to Ukraine could fund substantial portions or entire large cabinet departments. The $60 billion nearly equals the entire State Department budget. The $60 billion exceeds the budget for the Department of Homeland Security and for the Department of Energy.
National suicide is what it amounts to. You talk about priorities, as I played in the first segment, whether it's McConnell or that secretary that said, forget about clothes on your back. Climate change is more important. Forget about baby food. Climate change. Ukraine. One more from Senator Paul yesterday, clip 9.
We should not forget that the Soviet Union collapsed in large part, not because it was defeated militarily, but because it ran out of money. In an attempt to save Ukraine, will we doom the United States to such a future? In the past 2 years, the U.S. has borrowed more money than at any time in our history. We are already experiencing the greatest rate of inflation in over four decades. The assault on monetary discipline is untenable, and it cannot go on forever. Unless we put an end to the fiscal insanity, a day of reckoning awaits us.
That's right. This is how empires collapse. This is how great nations collapse. There is a day of reckoning coming. My father, in August of 2019, this is from the Trumpet magazine, and if you don't have the Trumpet, this is one from last year. We offer this every month, goes out 10 times a year to be precise. But there's no cost, no obligation. You can get a free one-year subscription if you just call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. But he said in August of 2019, the media are supposed to help expose and constrain such abuses of power. See, if we had a responsible media full of patriots, this would never be happening. But they're part of the problem. They're part of the attack. They're part of the communist infiltration. We write all about that, by the way, in this booklet. Herbert W. Armstrong, he was right. There's an entire chapter in here on the communist infiltration of the United States of America. And Mr. Armstrong was writing about that back in the 1940s and 50s. And now look at academia today. Look at Hollywood. Look at the media. Look at the Democrat Party. It says here, but the mainstream media was fully complicit in this treasonous plot. He's talking specifically here about the attack on Donald Trump. It says these agencies could never have pulled off what they did without the mainstream media's fervent support. The media are not fulfilling their traditional role as impartial observers and watchdogs. It's not about finding the truth or getting the message out to the people. They are casting truth aside. They're casting truth to the ground, as it says in Daniel chapter 8. It says they had a political agenda in lockstep with Barack Obama. The people are treasonous to their own country. I saw a headline today saying that it was from Secretary Esper, you know, the Secretary of Defense, the one that's on the book tour, trashing Donald Trump, saying he'd never vote for him. He was working for Trump. And he had another interview. Surprise, surprise. I mean, interviews galore all week for him. None for Dinesh D'Souza, but for Secretary Esper. He's out there saying, yeah, Donald Trump had this particular affinity for strongmen around the world. Really? He was bowing before strongmen? No, that would be Barack Obama. He was appeasing tyrants and dictators? That would be Barack Obama. That's been the way of Joe Obama. That's why Putin's on the march. That's why the mullahs are racing to get the bomb again. That's why North Korea is firing missiles again. And there's the man who worked at the Defense Department under Donald Trump, and he just cannot resist himself. He's got to go along with the mob that swoons before Barack Obama and hesitates not a second when it comes to criticizing the bad orange man. How easy is that? So much cowardice, so much weakness on display every day. People won't stand up for the truth. The truth, they cast to the ground. In our studies this week, the last couple of them, we've gone through Deuteronomy 27 and some other passages as well. On yesterday's show, we talked about how chapter 27 is a lead-in to the blessings and cursings chapter of Deuteronomy 28. And, of course, this chapter, together with Leviticus 26, Mr. Armstrong spends a lot of time on these blessings and cursings prophecies in the United States and Britain in prophecy. Would you like to know where the United States fits into Bible prophecy in these last days? Given all that's happening, I would think that would be high on the priority list for an aspiring Christian. Where do we factor in? Well, request your free copy of the United States and Britain in Prophecy and understand where we fit in to the grand scheme of these prophetic events that are unfolding right before us. And listen, we're right before. We're just a few years ahead of the spectacular return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Now would be a good time to really immerse yourself into a study, an intensive study of these books and booklets that we make available to you on this program. There's a toll-free number for those of you that live in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean, 1-866-930-3024. So the blessings and cursings chapter in Deuteronomy 28, it starts off with this, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Eternal your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Eternal your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. This is what God wanted for ancient Israel from the very beginning. Look, just obey these commandments and you'll be an example nation. God wasn't playing favorites. God just said to the people of Israel, I want you to show the rest in the world this beautiful example of obedience and blessings so that they can then obey and receive blessings too. Verse 9, it says, the Eternal shall establish you and holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you, if you shall keep the commandments of the Eternal your God and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Eternal, and they shall be afraid of you. Everyone on earth is going to see that you're God's people. You're God's nation. You're following the laws of God. You're being blessed because of it. That's what God wants for the church of God to be in this dying world. A shining city on a hill. A light to this world. An example. Verse 13, it says, "And the Eternal shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only," it says, "and you shall not be beneath, if that you hearken unto the commandments of the Eternal your God, which I command you this day, to observe and to do them." If you hearken to my voice, if you obey my laws, you will lead other nations. But see, it all was contingent on whether or not Israel would obey her God. Notice what it says further on in verse 15. It says, "But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." All of these curses were early on in the chapter. I read it yesterday. It says that you're going to be overtaken or just basically consumed by blessings if you obey. But the same is true with disobedience, except that you're overtaken by curses, not blessings. Verse 18 says, "Cursed shall be the fruit of the body, your body, and the fruit of your land, the increase of your kine," it says, "and the flocks of your sheep." I mean, your children are going to be cursed. Your health will be cursed. The produce from the field, the farms, the agriculture, that's going to be cursed. Is any of this happening in our nations today? Verse 37, just drop down quite a bit further. It says, "And you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among the nations where the Eternal shall lead you." You're going to, instead of being a positive example, instead of being an example nation of what happens when you obey God, this is essentially saying that you're going to be an embarrassment. You're going to be a nation that others look at and ridicule and mock and laugh at, laugh to scorn. There's lots of nations laughing, believe me. Who was it? I think it was Finland and Sweden. Now they're itching to get into NATO. How can you blame them? Let's see. If I get into NATO and Russia pushes up against our borders, you mean the United States is going to, they'll start sending things like $40 billion aid packages to defend us? You mean they'll finance our wars? They'll protect our borders? This is the deal of the century for these nations in Europe. I mean, there's nary a peep coming out of Europe as the United States with the Joe Obama people rushing to the microphone. Mitch McConnell saying, "This is the most important item or issue in the entire world right now. So let's get the 40, forget about $33 billion. That's what Joe Biden suggested. Let's add $7 billion to it. I mean, $7 billion. What's $7 billion? We can just print more money or borrow it from the Chinese. No big deal. Can you put $7 billion to the wall on the southern border of the United States? Absolutely not. That would be immoral. It would be immoral to secure our borders. Is America under attack? Is America being cursed? We're being besieged by curses. And it's all prophesied in your Bible. And that's clearly explained in this book. The United States in Britain in prophecy. The United States and Britain in Prophecy by Herbert W. Armstrong. You know, something like 8, 9, 10 million people have read this book. More than 6 million have been distributed around the world. It's riveting, this study. And it applies to our time today, even more so than it did when Mr. Armstrong first wrote it back 70, 80 years ago. I guess it would be... Well, yeah, I guess it would be 70, 80 years. Verse 34, just back up a bit, it says, "So you shall be mad for the sight of your eyes, which you shall see." I mean, people are just going to go crazy when the curses set in and the food shortages run right across the country and fuel is no longer affordable. Then people are going to go mad. The previews that we've gotten It's just a little tiny, tiny foretaste, as I've said. Verse 43, it says, "The stranger that is within you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low." The strangers? You mean the ones that are the visitors? Or that are coming in illegally? They're going to rise up very high. The ones that, you know, hate America. There's quite a few of them in the U.S. And they're not just minorities. There's a lot of white liberals that cannot stand the United States. They go, like I said yesterday, they go on and on about the sins of America, the racism in the DNA. And then you have politicians getting up talking about how righteous we are because, well, we just signed off $40 billion to Ukraine for democracy. Now all of a sudden we're a champion for democracy. Donald Trump's in there for 2 seconds and it's an authoritarian regime. It's Vladimir Putin. It's Adolf Hitler. But now democracy, that's all that we're doing in Ukraine. We're trying to further democracy. Yeah, I mean, you can't really trust one thing that the ruling class says. It's a uniparty, as so many have observed. It's the same message, whether it's coming from Republicans or Democrats. Verse 44, it says, "He that lends to you and you shall not lend to him, he shall be the head and you shall be the tail." It's like Rand Paul said. We don't even have this money. What money we give to Ukraine, we borrow from China. So we blow all this money. China's in the chief seat. They're in the power position. And we're committing suicide. It's all laid out in Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, the United States and Britain in prophecy. We better know these prophecies. How could you, Mr. Armstrong used to make the point, how could you look at the world, and he was saying this back in the 80s, how could you look at the world today? You see this massive power, this greatest superpower ever in the history of the world. And how could you, like so many in the world of traditional Christianity, how could they conclude that, well, yeah, I mean, I guess the little nation of Israel in the Middle East, they're mentioned in prophecy because it says Israel. But America, I don't see America in the Bible. Well, if you study the United States and Britain in prophecy, you see where America fits in Bible prophecy. We are right at the center of these end time events. And God's even given us so much more detail about America's place in Bible prophecy, and Britain too. Even in the last few years, my father, as I say, he's had a lot to say about that. But here we're the biggest debtor nation in the world, the United States of America, the world's superpower, the so-called superpower. And you can see why. $40 billion. Yeah, I called Mr. Biden last week, and he said, "Well, give me a second." Took 15 minutes, got back on the phone. "Yep, get the $40 billion out there. Let's go with it." Verse 47, it says, "Because you serve not the eternal your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things." You see what God is looking for? It's not that complicated. It's really very simple. Just obey God and serve him with your whole heart and be glad that you can and be thankful that you can do that. Be thankful that you can serve the great creator God, the one who created the universe. The heavens declare his glory. Just give God thanks. Give God thanks for opening your mind to the truth and for leading you out of the way of captivity and sin, for leading you out of Egypt. Just worship God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Has God richly blessed us? Look, there's a lot of people beginning to panic because they see the blessings. They see the blessings disappearing. They're being taken away. It's like it says in Isaiah 3, verses 1 and 2. God's taking away all these blessings, all this prosperity, all this peace, all this leadership that we've had or we've gotten accustomed to. We've been spoiled. We've grown fat or thick, like it says in the Old Testament about Israel. We've become satisfied. We're not looking to God. We've trusted in our riches, our wealth, our prosperity. We've taken the blessings of God for granted. Sadly, that's what's happened. And now the day of reckoning is upon us, like Rand Paul said. It's here. It's here in more ways than one. The financial reckoning's coming. Just wait. Just wait. Hang around. Watch and note what happens in the months and years ahead. The United States today is on an unsustainable path. An explosion is coming. Are you prepared for it? Are you emotionally prepared for what's coming on this earth? Every nation is going to be affected by it. Every nation's going to get caught up in the explosion of events. Perilous times are coming. They're here. Paul said in the last days, the days would be dangerous and perilous, and men would be lovers of their own selves, just looking to get what they can get out of the treasury before everything collapses. Do you see any of that in the United States of America? It's all over the place. It's every man for himself. What about the clothing on the backs of our children? Never mind clothing. We've got to solve climate change, say the elites. There's so many problems. There's so many crises. How do you even, I mean, in defense of some of these radical communists in charge, really, I mean, where do you start? What do you solve first? There's just so many. Well, here's where you start. You start by turning to God. And it's not, obviously, it's not happening on a national level. So individually, it's up to you. It is up to you. How will you respond? What will you do? Verse 48, it says, "Therefore shall you serve your enemies, which the Eternal shall send against you, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he have destroyed you." What a price to pay for not serving God with joyfulness and gladness. Isn't it better to serve God joyfully? Isn't it better to be a cheerful giver? Isn't it better to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, your mind, your everything, every fiber of your being? Isn't it better to serve God? Of course it is. Of course it's better to serve God with reverence and fear, to serve God with joyfulness and with gladness. That's the conclusion of the whole matter, as Solomon wrote. This is over in Ecclesiastes. Notice Ecclesiastes chapter 12. This is right after, if I can find it, let's see, it's right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes, it's not in my notes, you can obviously see. Ecclesiastes 12. And verse 13, it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." What's the conclusion? Here it is. "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole man." This is what it's all about. This is God's purpose. This is the theme of the Bible from beginning to end. Fear God, keep his commandments, and you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed in this physical life, as short as it is, and you'll certainly be blessed in the coming life in God's kingdom. Eternal life, living forever and ever and ever in the God family, in the God kingdom. Of course, you can get into that magnificent purpose and plan in another book by Herbert Armstrong, Mystery of the Ages. The toll-free number, once again, 1-866-930-3024. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. We appreciate you joining us all week, and we'll see you next week.